Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic. And Zach, of course, in Arizona. Indian spring training continues. Zach, how you doing, man?
Bull, how many times has someone told you you sound identical to Mark Feinsand?
Never.
Really?
You know, it's, well, I mean, because we're both from New York.
Yeah.
But there's little, here's the thing. Zach, you're from here, Zach, aren't you?
I am, yes.
So I brought this up last week, and I brought this up before. If you're like, there are different accents in this area that probably I don't hear the little differences that you would notice. And there are little differences in New York accents and different, and like Boston versus New York, that a lot of people from here can't tell the difference. Now,
that's
that,
fair.
You know, but not that I don't, I understand what you're saying. I've had Feinsand on. We sound a little alike, but nobody's ever said that to me before. No.
All right. I was having a conversation with him the other day, and I had to check myself for a second because I thought I was on 92.3.
Did you ask him? Because we know each other. Did you ask him?
I didn't. It didn't really hit me until
today.
After.
Kind of all came full circle today.
I had to hear your sultry tones one more time before I can make the connection.
There you go. Well, ask him. I'm curious what he thinks. But anyway, lot to get to. And I want to begin with Hanley Ramirez because, you know, Francona said last week, and this kind of opened my eyes a little bit when he said, yeah, we hope he can be a middle of the lineup hitter. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot to ask. If they're not, I mean, like, I would think you're just hoping he makes the roster. Middle of the lineup hitter? What do you think of the odds that he becomes a middle of the lineup hitter and is actually worthy of being in the middle of the lineup?
Yeah, not great.
Yeah.
I think what he meant, I don't remember the question that was asked, but I think he just meant, like, in an ideal, perfect world, he'd still be the guy he was in 2014, 2015, or whenever he was putting up monster numbers. So I don't think anyone is banking on that. I don't know that anyone's banking on him even making the club. I think it's probably the more likely scenario, but he's going to have to prove that he still has bat speed, that he can catch up to, you know, every pitcher throws 97, 98 miles an hour now. So does he still have those physical traits that made him one of the league's premier hitters in the first place? Because it's not going to matter if he hits 400 this spring or if he hits 200. It's just about those traits that they're looking for. And I think they have to have a realistic evaluation here where you can't just put him on the roster because of what he did in the past.
Right.
I mean, I don't know that you can just, like, waste the first two seasons, the first 2 months of the season and hope that he gets it together. I think they're going to have to make a judgment and hope that he can be a serviceable player.
Zach, do we have an update on Francisco Lindor?
Yeah, he's been, I know he's been, like, jogging and he's been taking grounders, he's hitting the cage. So he's starting to get to the activities where once he completes, like, the next, when he can actually run the bases, when he can take batting practice on the field, those things, I think that's when they'll have a better idea on a timeline. But everyone you talk to thinks opening day is not out of the question.
We're talking with Zach Meisel of The Athletic. That is great to
That's
hear.
Great news,
I mean,
yeah.
The fact that he could be ready for opening day.
Yep.
I think we're all a little nervous because, you know, we know what the weather can be like early in the season in Cleveland. And, you know, you don't want to deal with, like, obviously Donaldson last year with the calf was a pain in the neck. But obviously Lindor's much younger. How much will they factor in, you think, what the weather's like early in the season?
I think that'll be part of it. Francona even mentioned it, which, you know, that's – Look, I know they have a history here, and I know fans are skeptical of any timeline they put out, and I get it. But I don't think you can just compare Lindor, who's 25 and whose athleticism is what he's about.
Yes.
I think it's different, him and Chisenhall, him and Josh Donaldson. And the stuff he's doing now, when they first gave that 7 to 9 week timeline, like, I didn't think he'd be doing this sort of stuff until the middle of the month. So he's ahead of schedule, but at the same time, they know – you'd rather have him miss a week in early April than 3 weeks in June or July. if this sort of thing flares up. So they'll be smart about it, and I'm sure they'll be patient.
Hey, Zach, you know, we've talked a lot about Lindor, especially with these big contracts the last week or so, with Harper, with Machado, and it's just interesting. We talk about this all the time. I mean, the odds of the Indians being able to sign Francisco to a long-term deal is probably unlikely. Like, where do you see this going with him? I mean, do you think eventually we're talking trade in the next year or two, something like that, or is am I off my rocker? Do you think there's a chance they could sign him?
No, I never really thought there was much of a chance, to be honest, for a few reasons. Number one, he had no motivation. What would be his incentive to sign long-term in Cleveland? Especially the Indians offered him the nine-figure deal after 2016, I think it was. So at that point, you know, he had a big signing bonus. He had big endorsement deals. It's not like money was an issue. I think there's a big difference. The Indians are lucky that Jose Ramirez isn't in the same situation. You know, they have Jose Ramirez locked up on a super cheap deal through 2023. Otherwise, we're talking about him in the same boat where it's, all right, are they going to have to trade him in 2 years before he signs for $300 million? So I think with Lindor, it's he always was in a position to bet on himself, and he's always been that kind of guy anyway. And I think he knew from the beginning he was going to be able to get the opportunity to land one of these giant deals. And so I think he's headed to free agency no matter what. So I think if you're the Indians, you're probably going to have to start thinking about how you can recoup something for him instead of letting him walk, whether that's a year from now or more likely 2 years from now.
Zach Meisel of The Athletic is with us. Congratulations on 2 years there, Zach, by the way. I mean, The Athletic 2 years.
That's right.
And I know you put out, I read your column this morning, John Edwards, pitcher, real estate agent, cancer survivor, kept believing, and now the Indians believe in him. John Edwards has pitched He's pitched three major league innings in spring training. He hasn't pitched much in the majors, just 33 major league innings. He's been around baseball since, 2006, was a hitter, as you point out. It's a really good read, so everybody should check it out. But and he hasn't obviously had a lot of success so far in the majors, but he's in a battle for one of those spots. And at 31 years old, he's a guy that seems pretty easy to root for.
Yeah, he's 31, but in pitching age, he's probably more like 24 or 25
there.
Because he didn't start until 2012. His outfield career had kind of fizzled out. He was always a guy who had a strong arm, and he just finally made the decision. He was like, you know what, if I'm ever going to have a chance, it's going to be as a pitcher, not as a hitter. So he took up pitching. It was a long journey. He battled back from cancer, and then he had Tommy John surgery that took nearly 2 years to recover from. And the Indians, you know, he was working out with Cody Allen last off season, and Cody Allen actually said to Chris Antonetti, he's like, hey, you might want to take a look at this guy. He's throwing 95, 96, got a good breaking ball. So the Indians signed him. No one had ever heard of him when he was called up last September, and the Indians almost put him on their playoff roster. So he's one of a collection of guys vying for a bullpen spot who probably the casual fan doesn't know much about. But they've and I know the bullpen is unsettled and there are a ton of question marks. The one thing they've done is they've collected a lot of depth and a lot of guys who have high ceilings, have upside, and Edwards is one of those guys where maybe it's a little rough in April and May, but once he finds his footing in a role, he could be a guy pitching in the seventh, eighth inning come July and August.
Who is the favorite to be the setup man, you think, for Brad Hand?
I honestly, you can put 10 names into a hat and draw one out. And it was interesting because Francona admitted this the other day where he said, look, early in the season, it's going to be trial and error because they just don't know. You know, they're going to have Brad Hand and six or seven other guys and then probably four or five more guys at AAA. And it's just going to be everyone will get an opportunity, I think, at some point. And if you stick and if you're doing a good job, you'll keep your role or move up. And it's just going to depend on who's pitching well. But, I mean, it's interesting because they have – like, they brought back a couple of guys who have been decent the last year or two. Oliver Perez, Tyler Olson. So those guys will probably earn Francona's trust a little quicker. And then you have guys like Tyler Clippard and Alex Wilson who are veterans. And so maybe they'll be in that mold too. But, I mean, I look at a guy like Cody Anderson who he's been hurt the last 2 years, but he's still got a fresh arm. And he can, out of the bullpen, he can hit 95, 96 miles an hour. So I wonder, once he knocks the rust off, could he be a guy that pitches in the late innings? Yeah, there's a bunch of guys like that.
Let me throw another guy at you, and I know he's not going to be ready, and he hasn't pitched in forever, but nobody's got better stuff in that bullpen than Danny Salazar, and you know, if he still has his stuff, we don't know. He hasn't pitched in forever, and I don't think it makes any sense to make him a starter after all this time, especially since he's not ready to pitch now, and they've got five good starters. Could he eventually be a factor in that bullpen?
Yeah, and I think we talked about this before, guys, but I know people were making a big deal out of it when he said he hopes to pitch by the All-Star break. I think, first of all, that there's no point in that guy making declarations like, yeah, I hope to be back by opening day.
Right, because, yeah.
I mean, who's going to trust that? So I thought it made sense all along for them to bring him back so slowly that he's ramping up and, like, getting into his groove in August and September. You know, there's no point in him pitching enough in April and May that by the time you get to the end of the regular season, he's like out of gas. So I think it's certainly possible. I think he'll definitely be in the bullpen. I don't see any path back for him as a starter right now. And so, yeah, if he's got to start out in AAA and rehab a little bit there for the first couple months of the season, then sure, bring him along. And by the time you get to the games that really matter and when you're trying to round into postseason shape, if he's clicking then, that's what's important.
You know, we're still looking at an outfield that on paper looks, you know, frankly, very poor, you know, at least offensively. You know, I know these guys aren't great, but why wouldn't they? Like, how much could Carlos Gonzalez get at this point? How much could Adam Jones be looking for at this point? Why aren't are the Indians just not willing to spend any money at all? Because I would think you could get those guys for $3-4 million at this point, no?
Yeah, I think they'd rather save that for the middle of the season. Okay. I think the way they think is that there's no guarantee that Carlos Gonzalez or Adam Jones is going to be a significant upgrade over Tyler Naquin or Jordan Luplo or Greg Allen. And they don't want to commit a few million bucks to something that might not work out and then not have that money to spend in the summer, even though, as we've talked about so many times, it shouldn't be an excuse. I mean, you're in the middle of a contending for a World Series here, and it's been 71 years. So a few million bucks shouldn't be the difference. But from their perspective, it's well, if we've got, say, $5-6 million to burn, we'd rather burn that on a legitimate player in July than a guy who might not be an upgrade in March. Mm.
So unfortunately, they can't do both. But anyway, Zach, I know you got a Q&A. You sat down with Bauer, right? That's coming out later this week. I'll be curious to read that. How was he?
It was entertaining. He kind of pulled me into almost like a closet, and I don't want to say he vented for 90 minutes, but it was interesting. He's polarizing. He knows it. He's rubs people the wrong way. Other people sit on his every word and think he's, you know, just captivating and appreciate his candor. I as a reporter, it's obviously gold. I mean, you love that he's blunt and speaks his mind. And he had interesting things to say about, like, the kind of the media landscape. You know, I know Jason Lloyd published a Q&A with Kevin Love on a similar topic today, just the relationship now between reporters and fans and players. And he was interesting on that. And we talked about, I tried to debate him on his plan to sign 1-year contracts in the future. I thought I had a good argument, and he shut me down pretty easily on that. So just about him and his perception and all sorts of stuff. So we'll have that on The Athletic in the coming days.
I'll look forward to that. And by the way, I don't think it's mutually exclusive to find him obnoxious and still like his candor at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a hypocrite if I said that, you know, I want athletes to speak their mind.
Yes,
I'd rather have
right.
athletes have that personality than be the typical cliche-driven.
Agreed.
Responder and not give you anything to use. So and you know what, he even says, he's like, we want everyone, the fans want athletes to speak their minds and to show their true personalities. And so he knows he needs to improve his perception if he wants to be able to market MLB and his teammates the way he wants to. So we'll see how it goes.
Zach, last thing, we're going to be talking about Hoynes. He mentioned today about something about that when they got rid of Chief Wahoo, that the commission wanted the Indians to consider changing the team name. Had you heard about that as well? And you know, are you surprised to hear about that?
There were rumblings. I know when the negotiations were going on and they were unveiling, because we'd heard about the All-Star game coming for a while leading up to it. And you knew the league office was obviously involved with both things were happening simultaneously. So you know whether or not it was an explicit, hey, we'll give you the All-Star game if you get rid of Chief Wahoo. I don't know if it was that simple, but there were certainly conversations ongoing about both topics at the same time. So I'm hoping to sit down with Paul Dolan here in the next couple of weeks in Arizona and maybe get more clarity on that and just what his thought process was during all those conversations.
Zach, good stuff, man. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Thanks for
stay
joining
warm.
Us. You too. Yeah, well, you don't need to. You're in Arizona. Enjoy. All right, Zach. Zach Meisel.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.